At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Wait, wait, wait. Before we start, just want to make sure we're clear here. While this podcast talks about sobriety, mental health, and addiction, it is not meant to replace professional medical advice. Welcome to Sisters in Sobriety.
I'm Kathleen.
And I'm Sonia.
And we're ex-sisters-in-law, brought together in marriage and bonded through our sobriety journey.
Join us as we talk sobriety, addiction, and everything in between. You're in for quite a ride. And our Substack is buzzing with amazing content, from creative mocktail recipes to insightful courses and reflective exercises. There is something for everyone. Don't miss out. It's a great way to add some extra joy and depth to your journey. Check it out. Welcome to Sisters in Sobriety. We are thrilled to have Ali Shapiro join us again. Ali is a health coach, speaker, and creator of the Truce with Food program. Her revolutionary approach integrates emotional storytelling to help clients heal their relationship with food, their bodies, and ultimately themselves.
Ali is also the host of the popular podcast Insatiable, where she dives deep into the psychological and physiological drivers behind our cravings and behaviors. In our previous episodes with her, we explored the concepts of belonging, emotional cravings, and breaking free from the cultural narratives about food and body image. Today, we're excited to uncover new layers of this important conversation.
Ali, welcome back. It is a pleasure to have you and your insights and your perspective on the show today.
I'm so glad. I love chatting with you and Kathleen, Sonia.
We have so many questions that we didn't get to last time, and we have a lot of questions about the cultural narrative around food and especially around holidays and celebration. So how has the cultural narrative around food evolved over the past decade, and what gaps do you think are still there?
Yeah, well, I think, at least when I was dieting in the 80s and 90s, I think it was sort of like, here's how you restrict yourself. Here's how you stay on track. I just wrote to my list about, I remember about 20 years ago being in a Weight Watchers meeting, and it was poorly lit on a weekend on a Saturday. And our Weight Watchers leader, he was like, okay, everybody, we're getting ready for the holidays. How many points is a lick of the top of a Ben and Jerry's ice cream container? And we were like, one, you know? And then he was like, how many points are three Hershey Kisses? And we were all like, two. It was like this religious call and response. And then he was like, how many points in four cubes of cheese? And the room went silent. And he was like, six. And the whole room went, oh, you know, like, I don't remember that to this day. And we were all still trying to stay within our points, right? So that's what I think it used to be. And then I think there was, in the last 10 years with body positivity and anti-diet, it's like, just eat what you want, enjoy it, all that kind of stuff. And I think that's true. And when you start to understand how physiology works, meaning the more sugar you eat, the more you want. It doesn't matter how many calories you eat if you aren't getting the nutrition that you need. I think also knowing that this is a season, in traditional Chinese medicine, this is the season of grief. And I think us in the West aren't great with that. So I think we shop, drink, eat, stay busy. And so if you're eating a lot of sugar and all that stuff, it can exasperate anxiety, depression, which are often unprocessed grief. You know, Kathleen, you could talk more about that than me. So I think there's a lot of complexity going on of like, okay, are we eating because we really want it? But where is the point where we're eating it because we're just trying to cope? And then especially as someone who's postmenopausal, and the more you age, not that any one season is going to set you back, but as you age, especially after menopause for women, when you don't have estrogen and progesterone, you are more insulin resistant, meaning it's harder to feel satisfied in cravings. So not only as if you just had a free-for-all, would you be more hungry and have more cravings, but there's a more network metabolic effect of like, if you were to do this for 3 months, right? It's not the same way as if in your 20s or 30s. So I think that to me is what I'm looking at as when we go through all of this. And when I talk to my clients, a lot of them will tell you, okay, I like the first piece of pie, or I like a couple cookies, but after that, I don't know why I'm doing this. It's really making me feel horrible. So that's where I joke, moderation is the new radical. So I'm kind of like, okay, how do you support your body so you can be with the emotions, including the joy and the happiness, if there is that for you at this time, without setting ourselves so back that we're not sleeping, we are aggravating our depression and anxiety. And then we start on January 1st wanting to go in some extreme quick fix that is actually going to set us back even further.
I think that extreme quick fix is, that's where, like January 1st, then they deprive, and like they restrict.
And that's really stressful on your body.
Oh,
you know, this thing called the HPA access. I tell clients, just think of it as like registering all your stress. And like what people don't understand, especially for those who want to lose weight, your body gains weight when it feels starving or overeating. Both send a biological signal that you're in a famine and you need to store. So that's like the other thing that we don't talk about around weight loss. These extremes are part of what's keeping weight on as well.
Now, food often around the holidays, and not even just during the holidays, anytime, really symbolizes connection. And so we have this connection to food during celebrations. Can you talk a little bit about that? How does it symbolize connection? How do we navigate through that when it does?
And this is when I think it's healthy to eat what we might consider not healthy things.
Right.
So, you know, we talked about belonging in my first interview, right? And part of one level of belonging is belonging to something bigger than yourself, which includes your family traditions. It includes when we used to live in concert with the seasons, or in concert, in sync with the seasons, right? You ate these traditions that also connected you to the land. And so I think this is where traditional foods that you've had in your family forever, they give you something that your soul, that your spirit, that your emotional body, whatever we want to call it, I mean, those are separate things even, but need at this time, right? And so that's when it's like, oh, if this is going to help me connect and this helps me feel part of something bigger, because we need that. That's part of belonging. That's when it's like, yes, it's that's when you have to go for it, right? And if you can bring that lens to it of connecting, I'm thinking about not even a holiday food. I was just had a cold and my grandma used to make me fenugreek with tea with lemon and honey. And she's from the old country. My grandma was from Slovenia, right? So I get teary thinking about it. But when I get sick, I make myself fenugreek tea with lemon and honey and I feel my grandma there. I feel like it's medicine on all levels. And I think food this time of year can be that. And I do want to say there can be a transition period if, like, my sister was diagnosed with celiac about 20 years ago, I think, maybe 18. So growing up, we made sugar cookies and, you know, the smell of vanilla still reminds me of Christmas. So there was a transition period where we, and I actually was healing my gut at the time, so I had to be gluten-free. I don't have to be as restrictive with gluten anymore. So there was a period where we had to kind of make new foods that were part of that tradition. But now, after like 20 years now, they feel part of connecting me to my family, and we all make them together. And we will still do sugar cookies. They will just be gluten-free. And we didn't have a family recipe of sugar cookies. So we can still make those substitutions. But I don't know. So I just said a lot. I'm going to stop talking.
No, that actually leads right into our next question, which is how do you reconcile cultural food traditions with modern health narratives?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if one of them is adapting recipes, or I know we just talked about moderation, but yeah, how do we reconcile that?
Well, I think most traditional cuisines balanced our physiology naturally,
yeah,
right? Because they were balancing within the seasons, right? One thing that's not talked enough about is how like light influences our mitochondria and our appetite and our cravings. Yeah, I had an episode on my own podcast about 6 years ago about this. But if you think about it, so it's winter, right? So it's like a lot of the root vegetables, right? We need more proteins at this time. We're not doing fruits and tons of carbohydrates. We need those a lot in the summer when the days are longer. I think about at our family, we have brisket, right? That's really like an in-season food, right? So what I do with my clients is I teach them how to balance their blood sugar. And it's not following a plan. It's just understanding, okay, you need a little protein, you need a little carbohydrate, you need some vegetables. So whatever your traditions are, you can build your meal around that. You don't have to say no. So one of my clients, her dad, his thing was like these mashed potatoes he made. Like these are dad's mashed potatoes, you know? I was like, okay, so then that's your carbohydrate. Done. It doesn't have to be a big deal. And if you are someone who's has health conditions or sensitive to something like sugar, okay, so maybe have a little less mashed potatoes because you want to have pie. And yeah. I think we can have a little bit more leeway, but I don't actually think it's either or. I think it's totally possible to do it all around the holidays.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a follow-up to that because one of the things I've been learning about is if you're going to have the piece of pie, to have it after a nourishing meal,
yes,
of protein and veggies and some healthy fats, and then have it after because the blood sugar spike will be not as high.
Yes, 100%. And this is where the problem with just trying to fit in your points or your calories, it misses like, okay, but the timing of your food matters.
Right.
And for people listening to this, a lot of my clients are perfectionists. It's like, oh my God, do I have to eat at noon? No, it's like the body's also resilient. I'm just talking,
yeah,
about don't skip food all day and to save your calories or points, like we were trying to do at my Weight Watchers meeting, which means your blood sugar's crashed, which means it's literally like impossible to be moderate at that point,
yeah,
because your body will always try to keep you alive, thank God. And so having dessert and like even having a richer, fattier dessert, right? Rather than, mm-hmm, I used to be like frozen yogurt, you know, oh, that's,
yeah,
better because it's less calories versus it's like, no, that's spiking your blood sugar even higher and stuff like that. So yes, have the dessert after, or if you're going to have hors d'oeuvres, or like snacks before, right? Because people tend to leave stuff out. Try to do something that has like a higher fat or protein content. So it would be like, have some cheese with the crackers rather than just eating tons of crackers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't emphasize this enough that it's not the total amount of calories you're getting in. It's, is your physiology balanced? And those are very different questions.
So what advice do you have for someone who is feeling overwhelmed by these sort of holiday expectations around food? And this is a separate one, but around body image. So I know like with my family, I would come home for Christmas and there's a lot of pinching of the fat, okay? Like pinching the waist, like, you know. What advice would you give someone who's nervous about things like that?
Yeah. Well, so in my work, there's two separate questions there. And we can talk about how I believe body image is fluid. I don't actually think we have a consistent body image, but let's talk about if you're feeling overwhelmed by everything. So part of in my work, what we're helping people do is evolve from this kind of socialized idea of belonging, meaning here's what I've been rewarded for being good. Here's what has cost me for being bad. So applying that to the holidays, okay, what's rewarded me for being good is seeing everyone saying, you know, going with the flow, which one of my favorite Swedish proverbs is only dead fish go with the flow. It's like, I have to get gifts for everyone. I have to, you know, my son's daycare is like, drop off the sweets for the art show on Friday. Okay, I got to make those homemade. Like all of these things on your to-do list, right? And that's what we call like this socialized idea of belonging. I've got to be the good girl around this,
mm-hmm,
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And part of how we stop turning to food when we feel emotionally unsafe is saying what's called self-authored belonging. And so I think it's start by saying, rather than just think you have to react to everything, start by taking a step back and thinking, what is important to me this holiday season? What do I want to experience? And let yourself ask that question and think about it, I think, more in values wise rather than this has to happen. But so many people will be like, I want to feel like there's a slower pace. Mm-hmm. I don't want to max out my credit cards. I want to be financially responsible or whatever it is. But I would encourage people to ask that, because then what happens is you have a stronger decision-making filter, what we could call discernment, to go into things. And what ends up happening is you feel emotionally fulfilled, emotionally satiated, right? This is a big thing that we talk about in my work, is that satiation as a mindset. So thinking about that is a first place to start, of like, how, because all of a sudden that's going to then give you a fulfillment. So then it's not like food is the only thing keeping your energy going. It's not the only thing you're looking forward to. There's a lot of other things happening. Do you guys have any questions around that? Because sometimes this stuff can be abstract, but
No, continue, because we were going to ask this question around the strategies about differentiating the need for the deeper emotional need and then the holiday food. So I think you're answering it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I love focusing on needs versus behaviors, because it offers more flexibility, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have this need for spaciousness, it's not like, okay, I have to get up and journal every morning. And right. It's like, we've turned self-care into a job. Yes. That when your other jobs are more important, they're going to go to the bottom of the list. So it's like, okay, if I need spaciousness, I was telling you guys, we just went to Florida for Thanksgiving and my niece got married. Like, we were just going. And so this past weekend, it was like, okay, Essa's going to watch more TV than normal because I need to collect myself, because my Truce with Food program is getting ready to launch in January. Carlos has a lot of work to do. We're applying to schools for my son. There's like a lot going on. So it was like, okay, this is where I can fit in some coming back to myself, because I haven't had any time to myself. So that's an example of flexibility versus being like, okay, I'm going to get up early in the morning because I need sleep. I take sleep whatever I can get these days. So thinking about what are those needs. And I think too, another huge thing is connecting food and movement, and this takes some time, but connecting it to resilience and being able to enjoy the season better, right? So we went to Florida and I got some working out in, but I had a really bad cold or whatever. So we came back, and ever since, again, going through menopause, if I don't exercise, and that could be like walking for an hour, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not like heart rate person or anything like that. But it was like, my mood was tanking. I was just, oh, and I get so lethargic based my nervous system. I have a parasympathetic, and we talk about this in Truce with Food, but I'm someone who needs like activation versus people who are sympathetic dominant. They're already type A and like they actually need to calm down, but I'm someone who needs a lot of activation. So it's like, okay, I got myself to the gym yesterday and I eased back into it because I still have a little bit of a cold, but it was like my mood turned around like that. Mm-hmm. So I think learning to connect movement and how you eat to literally how you feel for the next couple of hours, it starts to take it out of the weight loss only narrative. And that's actually what leads to sustainable change. Because adults need, my background is really in adult change and sustainable change. Adults need what I call quick fixes, not quick fixes like we've thought in terms of weight loss, but we have so many other things going on that we need to be like, oh, when I eat this protein rich breakfast with some carbohydrates, my mood is stable. Mm-hmm. Oh, my cravings are gone. Oh, I can go till 12 and I'm firing on all cylinders at work. That's actually what keeps you doing, quote unquote, the healthy thing. It's not being like, oh, I hope this makes me lose a pound in a week. It can be both. It doesn't have to be either or. But what keeps you going is connecting movement and eating to a better experience of your life. And you can literally, like how you eat at one meal, you can literally pay attention for 3 hours and see if I am full of cravings and I'm hungry, I didn't eat the right foods for me. If I feel great, that works for me. Your body will give you instant feedback. So that's part of it with the holidays too. You could, it's okay to want to eat healthy and move and connect it to, oh my God, I'm sleeping better. I am I'm not less patient with my child or my partner or my family. So I think those kind of things. Then there's the other thing is what we call in Truth with Food, we talk about 7-inch, 7-foot, 70-foot waves of belonging, right? And people think of them as stress. So 7-inch waves of belonging are where, you know, you feel relatively safe or it's a low stakes interaction, right? So for example, maybe you're practicing not rushing because you want to slow down and you, a 7-inch wave would be like at the coffee shop, you don't like do your order and then hurry up and be like, oh, I got to move over and put my change in and I'm just going to practice, right? It's like, okay, no one's going to judge me or criticize me here, or I'm not going to lose any sort of connection if I do that, right? 7-foot waves are maybe where people you feel relatively safe with, and you're going to really say, hey, can we not swap gifts this year? Like, I'm just feeling, you know, and you feel like there might be pushback, but you also trust the person that there's enough great relationship equity there that it's not going to hurt that. And so I think people can start to experiment with those 7-foot waves of like, what would I want to do differently if I was self-authoring this holiday? But then there's the 70-foot waves. This tends to be our family of origin. You said, Sonia, oh my God, my concern with my weight, this is where all of these patterns started, yeah. Right? And those just people feel overwhelmed because they're under-resourced in how to manage those. So I think with the 7-foot waves and practicing with the 7-inch and 7-foot waves will eventually make the 70-foot waves feel smaller because you become more agile at what you need. And as my clients say too, as they start to learn empathy and compassion for themselves, it is so much easier to extend that to other people. So I wouldn't expect people to be able to have that agility, that emotional agility in their family of origin. However, what I would say is find like the 7-foot wave and person you can connect with within your family at this time. So for example, one of my clients over Thanksgiving really struggles with her family, right? This is where her belonging, her here's how I have to be good. And her pattern was really to like try to fix everybody, right? I'm the responsible one. And she's like, I was getting bingy at home. And it was like, because the intimacy that she wanted was not there. And so I said, is there one person in your family that sees what you see? And she's like, yes, my sister. And we always have this plan of what to do, right? Like, let's leave the house, let's do. And I was like, okay. And maybe because she's still new to this process that I'm teaching her. And maybe you can just be with her and how hard it is rather than trying to fix it, right? And being in the emotion. And then it also came up about she's in therapy and as she gets healthier and healthier, she feels more distance from her family, right? Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not a therapist. But what we did is she was trying to put boundaries around her family, right? And she was finding that the more boundaries she put around her parents, the more resentful and angry mm-hmm. and distant they became. Mm-hmm. And I said, and again, this is part of the all or nothing, right? Okay, I'm enmeshed and now I'm like completely separated, which aggravates the belonging. And so I said, what do you really need from them? And she was like, I want emotional intimacy. And I was like, okay. And she said, it's interesting, when my food started to get better, yes, I knew I was leaving, but I gave my parents what I wanted. I said to my dad, what's going on? And he cried to her. And she said, and she got teary on our call being like, you know, that's what I wanted. I felt the emotional intimacy. And then she said with her mother, she went and visited her mother at work the next day and her mother was so happy. And I said, look, it's not fair that you have to be the one to, ideally in a perfect world, your parents would be able to give this to you, but they don't know how. And I said, and the difference is, what if you don't have to fix their emotions? What if you can just be with it rather than the old pattern of enmeshment, right? And again, I'm not, Kathleen, you could tell me these terms better than me, but
no, you got
rather it. Than feeling as the child, you're responsible for this. Can you just be present? And realize that maybe over time, right, this is one instance, you're modeling for them what is possible mm-hmm. because her dad grew up in a patriarchal culture. He's not, how can he know how to be sensitive? He's cut off from his own emotions. Mom is learning. And so that's what we call in Truth with Food option C around these 70-foot waves of, I said to her, you're going to have to be the cycle breaker. I'm sorry to bring it to you. And she's like, no, I know I am. But that's that option C of like, she really wanted emotional intimacy with them. And so the trick was to have it, but not to repair it. And to be in the mess of all of that, right? So she can hold both. She has the emotional intimacy and, ugh, I wish they could do this for me. But maybe as I have more compassion for myself and can be there more, I can also, this may change the trajectory of the relationship. I don't know. She doesn't know. But she's getting the emotional intimacy she needs. So that's an example of how to handle those 70-foot waves. Starting to hold them is realizing, trying to interrupt the old patterns by getting your needs met, but also not having to, in that case, fix what was happening, right? Does that make sense? Or am I... Sometimes these concepts, again, can be abstract, but...
No, it really makes sense to me, because what I think you're also saying, and you've said kind of throughout this, is that we need to be flexible. Like, yes. We need to be flexible. And I don't know if you've ever read the Tao Te Ching. Have you read it?
Oh, my God. My master's thesis was rooted in the yin and yang. I mean, okay. In the Tao.
Yeah. So I'm going to, like, I hope I'm not going to butcher this, but... In the Tao, there's like a verse, I think it's verse 76, actually. It says, like, men are born soft and supple, dead, they are stiff and hard. Do you know this one? Plants are born tender. Okay, so plants are born tender and pliant, dead, they are brittle and dry. And whomever is stiff and inflexible is a disciple of death. And whomever is soft and yielding is a disciple of life. And that, I think, speaks to, right, the flexibility. If we are hard, brittle, and dead, like if your client was just like, no, I need emotional connection. If they don't give it to me, like, then that's not what I'm getting. But it's like, no, how do we be flexible about this? Like, what is the flexibility within ourselves, right?
Yeah. And that's holding, like, most, like, practically stated, it's holding the and. And that is actually a developmental milestone. So actually all of my work is helping people be able to hold that and. And part of that is developing emotional capacity, right? So that you can be with the relief of the emotional intimacy, but also the sadness that they can't get into, right? And so rather than just being overwhelmed by the lack of emotional satiation because you're not getting what you need, you have to like... And... In part of why I love the work that I do with clients, I mean, it's because we are getting results of people forgetting that they had decades of journals where they were binging and beating themselves up. The binging gradually goes away as they cultivate this self-authored belonging. But as they start to have more compassion for themselves and realizing that so much of who they thought they were was what we call this inner protector. It's like, I'm trying to protect my belonging. And I always say to people, like, Chris Rock, he's an American comedian, but he had this, like, hilarious bit, like, 30 years ago. He's like, when you're dating people, you're not meeting them. You're meeting their representative, you know? It was just, like, this hilarious bit. And in this case, like, our parents have protectors. We have protectors. And everyone thinks we're fighting with who we really are, but we're all just, like, meeting with these, to your point, Kathleen, like, rigid personality traits that have gotten us belonging, that have made us feel like we're good in this world and that we're worthy, but a lot of them have outlived their purpose and they're not flexible. So it just makes people, it's amazing how other people can shift and change when we have that flexibility and that suppleness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you for listening to Sisters in Sobriety, and we'll see you next week when we'll share part two of our conversation with Ali. You don't want to miss it.
This was Sisters in Sobriety.
Thank you for listening and being with us today.
If you want to learn more about sobriety and meet your community, find us at sistersinsobriety.substack.com.
Are you a sister in sobriety? Then reach out on social media. We'd love to hear from you.
If you're feeling generous, leave us 5 stars and a review and follow us wherever you listen.
You'll never miss an episode. Until next time.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.